following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
You have missed out on Pastor Bill, and you'll have to come back next week for that, or next Wednesday. He did last night's service. He did this morning's 9 o'clock service, to which you're maybe kicking yourself, why didn't I come to 9? I told you we should have got up early. But anyway, you're here, okay? So, he had to do a wedding up north, a family that he's known before they had kids, and then they had kids, and he dedicated that little child to the Lord 20-some-odd years ago. And now that little child is a big adult getting married, and the only flight that he could get out worked where there's no way he could have pulled off doing the 11 o'clock service. So that's what's going on, but he definitely will be back next week. So, yeah. Hey, have you ever wondered what makes great leaders or warriors, a commander-in-chief? You may be wondering about that. But I love to read about such things. Just have enjoyed reading books on Navy SEALs, historical figures. Love that. In the middle, almost done with a book called Warrior, in fact, as we talk about wisdom for warriors today. And I'm reading this book. By the way, it's an autobiography by Ariel Sharon, who was a prime minister of Israel, and he is noted as being their greatest general in modern times. So I want to read this. Plus, on a personal note, on a selfish note, two new grandkids in my family, twin boys. One is named Ariel, the other is named Baron, which means warrior. So I saw this book, I thought, that's perfect, I gotta read this book, it's a sign. So I got this book by Ariel Sharon called Warrior, and I thought, how perfect, these twin boys, and that's their names. Ariel means Lion of God, and as I said, Baron means warrior. So, you know, I read about that, and this amazing guy, Ariel, he was a major, and by the time he was in his mid to late 20s. He was a general by the time he was in his early 40s, and then, of course, later, as I said, became prime minister. But not just on the guy side, there's just been great, strong leaders, right? Margaret Thatcher being one of those. Golda Meir, Margaret Thatcher, of course, prime minister of England. Golda Meir, prime minister of Israel. And then, of course, there's Katniss of the Hunger Games, great warrior as well. And so all of these have something in common. Actually, even Katniss. And this common element or elements, and that is there's some form of godliness there that affects the way they go to battle in the battles of life or the battles of the battlefield. And so it was in the life of David, and that's what we've been studying, right? The life of David. And so David now is not just David, a shepherd, not just David, the youngest son of Jesse, but now he's a captain, and it's the first time we really see him taking this role as a captain, as a commander. It was inferred earlier, if you remember in chapter 13, when Saul was rejected by God. It wasn't inferred, it was declared, but we didn't see it come to pass, and we see that now. And so what's going on in our text, as we're going to be in 1 Samuel 23, and you can turn there if you like, is a precursor. It's preparation for David to be that commander-in-chief and the commander that's going to replace Saul. Saul is the nominal king at this point. It's just in name only. And sadly, it's very sad, as you have read with us a couple weeks ago, because we had a break last week. But Saul, at this point in our story, in our narrative, is focusing, sadly, all his mental and military resources to chase down one guy, David. He's not pursuing massive armies, protecting the borders of Israel. He's chasing down to one guy because this guy is a challenge to his authority, and it's just real sad. Bill and I talked about an analogy a couple days ago, kind of like that angry guy that's trying to chase down a fly or a bee in his kitchen, but he's doing it with a baseball bat. You think, what are you doing? I mean, you're destroying everything in your path, but I'm going to get that bee. And it's crazy. And a matter of fact, if you will back up with me to our text from a couple weeks ago, just to give you an idea what Saul was doing. And whoa, I was in 2 Samuel. That would have been scary. I would have started reading. You go, what is that guy? So chapter 22, 1 Samuel, look at the last three verses. Now, one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, he escaped and he fled after David. And Abiathar, he told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priest. And so David said to Abiathar, I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there that he would surely tell Saul, I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. That's what Saul did. He had Doeg just strike him down. I don't care who they are, women, kids, they had anything to do with hiding David and providing food for him, from our text a few weeks ago, I want him dead. And so verse 23, David says, hey, stay with me, don't fear, for he who seeks my life, he seeks your life, but with me, you shall be safe. And so that's what Saul is doing at this time, should be fortifying his borders, should actually have David helping him to do that, but that's not what he's doing. And it's very sad. It's sad when a leader strives to keep that position, whatever the cost, whatever the collateral damage. It's just really sad, isn't it? And I think we've seen that. We've read that certainly in our lifetime. But David, what he has to work with in our text, David has to work with 400 guys right now. There's not 600 yet. There's 400 guys. And these guys, they're a far cry from the 300. You may know the 300, the Spartans. These guys were amazing. These guys are not amazing. Even though there's 100 more of them, they are not amazing. And they got a long way to go. David's got his work cut out for him. And yet that's okay, because you rarely begin a process of mentoring with expert proteges. That just is not typical. So these guys, they're raw recruits. They really are. They're not ready for prime time. They're not ready for battle, for sure. And most of them are refugees, and they're still recovering from what they left to be with David and to hide with David, really. And you remember from a few weeks ago, the scriptures tell us the kind of people they are. And maybe we all fit into one of these categories at some time in our life. They were the distressed. We've experienced that. The in debt, I've experienced that. And the discontented, that's what the scripture says. That's the group, that's your 400, David. Make an army with them, there you go. Distressed, the in debt, the discontented. And this is a picture that I was hesitant to show you, but quite frankly, that's an army right there. That's Pooh's army. And psychologists have studied this and said, you know what? These guys maybe depict us in more ways than we realize. And so the owl, he's the narcissist. Tigger, he's got ADHD. And think about these guys. If you've ever read Winnie the Pooh or read it to your kids or it was read to you, you got rabbit with OCD, the obsessive compulsive disorder. Piglet, definitely anxiety. A Pooh, eating disorder. And an Eeyore, with his depression. But that's what David's got to work with, a bunch of dysfunctional people. But I like that, and here's why. Here's why, because I think we need that encouragement. We get that encouragement when we read about the 12 that Jesus called, right? You don't look at the 12 and go, oh man, the Lord would never call me because these guys are amazing and I'm not. No, you look at the 12 and you think, whoa, hey, I'm not as bad as those guys. I could totally do this. And so it is. And so it is with our group here of these down and outers that David has to work with. And it's time to train them. It's time to train these guys, these 400, for battle. And so in our text this morning of chapter 23, the training begins of the 400. Wisdom is going to be imparted to these guys. Wisdom for warriors, men and women, right? It's both, because we're all warriors for the Lord. And so we want to get this. We want the Lord to really teach me this morning how we can be more effective for him. In fact, let's pray for that right now, okay? Would you guys mind the little pause and we'll do that? Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for what you have in store for us. And God, the message, the wisdom that you want to impart to us. Lord, that's your heart. That's why you've recorded this for us. Lord, as we've often said, this passage is not about us, but it's all for us. It's for us to learn, to be instructed, to gain wisdom, Lord, just to be better equipped for you. And so, Lord, I pray that we'd all just take in what you want to pour into us, what you have for us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, David is going to pour in right now. He's going to pour in to these guys what God's really taught him. And it's teaching him. It's because it's an ongoing process. And it always is in our lives. And things that the Lord has showed him, even about battle. And there is a battle brewing right now. And David hears about it. And maybe sees, is kind of inferred as well, that the Philistines, kind of that arch enemy of Israel, right? The Philistines are at it again. And they're pillaging. And they're raiding the threshing floors of a town. The threshing floors is where everybody would gather after you bring in the wheat harvest, and you say, bring in the wheat, and you thresh the wheat to get the grain, the good stuff, so that you can make the meal and the flour. And it's like, all right, you know, the harvest is in. We've done all the work. We planted it. We nurtured it. We harvested it. And now we're threshing it. And the Philistines, I guess it's classic, right? All right, now's the time to raid. We're not going to raid them while they're growing this stuff. No way. We'll wait till they get all the work done. Then we go in. Then we attack. We pillage. We steal. And all kinds of other stuff that's terrible. That's what they did. That was their MO. And David says, we need to help. We've got to help these guys. And the 400 recruits, the proteges, they say, we're ready. No, they don't say we're ready, actually. They say we're afraid. And so I want us to look at that. As boot camp begins for these 400. Look at the first two verses. Let's just start with that. The first two verses of chapter 23. Then they told David, saying, look, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah, and they're robbing the threshing floors. And so, therefore, David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and attack these Philistines? And the Lord said to David, go and attack the Philistines and save Keilah. And so that's the plan of attack at this point in time. And our first lesson that I hope we gather from this is to choose your battles wisely. Choose your battles wisely. And to do that, to know how to choose, because a lot of times people say, okay, well, that's great, Alan, but how do I choose? How do I know? And that's where prayer comes in. And David sought God. David didn't just say, well, hey, there's a need and I'm going for it. And nor should we. We seek the Lord. Lord, there's a need, and it's on my heart, and I want to help. And the Lord probably will have you help because he's shown you and he's put it on your heart. But we ought not to be need-driven because there's far more needs than you could ever, ever handle, right? So you seek the Lord. You want to be spirit-led, not need-led, spirit-led. And so David, he sought out the Lord, and he waited patiently on the Lord. One of his psalms that he wrote, Psalm 40, describes his heart in these matters. It's one of David's psalms. And in Psalm 40, it says that I sought the Lord and he inclined his ear towards me. I love that imagery, that verbal imagery, that word picture. I sought the Lord. Lord, I need to know. And he says he inclined his ear. That tells me that God doesn't just hear, but he listens. He listens. And so David did that. He didn't wrongly conclude, well, it must be God because there's a need. Or the flip side of that, he didn't wrongly conclude, hey, well, it can't be God because, you know, maybe my men will be afraid, or maybe the people won't be grateful, or maybe they'll expose our hideout, or who knows what. He sought the Lord, and that's an important thing. And our Savior, our ultimate teacher, Jesus, right? The ultimate example. That was his routine. His routine was to rise early and seek the Father's will. Check this out. This is from John 5. I put it up here just to save us some time this morning. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing for himself. Again, this is Jesus talking. But what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And so that was Jesus' MO as well. Now, David sees the need, and by the way, these are his people. They're part of the tribe of Judah, and he remembers, you know, that I guess in essence, I'm my brother's keeper. But he first sought God, and that's what I want us to really catch in this, to seek the Lord. That's how you choose wisely. There was somebody else that was called to be kind of a deliverer kind of guy. His name was Moses. You know his story. And one of the first accounts of his attempt to do this before his 40 years of training, before he really got it, was prior to leaving Egypt. And he's got this call in his life, and he sees an Egyptian mistreating a fellow Israeli, and so he thinks, I'm on it. I got this. And he kills him, thinking that's what I'm supposed to do, because he didn't pause. He didn't seek. He did something in his own power, his own plan, and it ended up being a disaster, as you know. So again, point number one, choose wisely by praying first. So important. Secondly, fight through your fears, because we all have them. We all have them. Speaking of books on warriors, I love when I read accounts of Navy SEALs saying, you know, if someone says to you in prior to a battle or in the heat of battle that they're not afraid, they're lying. And so that's those are words from the quintessential warrior saying, hey, if somebody says they're not afraid in battle, they're lying, because it's just not true. But it's not that we won't have fears. It's that we fight through the fears, that we work through the fears. So let's look back at our text. Look at verse 3, 4, and 5 with me. But David said, David's men, rather, they said to him, look, hey, we're afraid. They didn't say, hey, let's go, we're ready. We're afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we go to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? And then David inquired of the Lord once again. And the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hands. And David and his men went to Keilah, and they fought with the Philistines. They struck them with a mighty blow, took away their livestock. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And so the new recruits, the 400, they're trembling. And they were already afraid just being in hiding from Saul. And they're saying, man, put the Philistines, and you want us to leave the safe haven we're at now and go get be exposed here to where the Philistines are. And so you can see in the map there, Keilah. And they were afraid, and rightly so. There was reason to be afraid. And yet, God had said go. Because David sought the Lord, right? We read that. The Lord said go. But the new volunteers, they say, whoa, 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 hold on, hold on. And so David has some options here. And I like that, because I like the option that he chooses. He could have scolded them, right? At that point, you know, he could have said, hey, look, come on. I hear from God. I prayed, and I asked the Lord for direction. And by the way, I've killed a giant, and how dare you question my judgment? You know, you guys need to suit up and march on. Let's go. But David didn't do that. Now, he could have, and if you read that in the text, you would have thought, yeah, David, man, you tell him. These guys, what are they doing questioning you? But David didn't do that. David didn't do that. Rather, what he did is said, let's just confirm God's will. He humbly said, let's confirm God's will. And by doing that, by David taking that step, he demonstrated a side of leadership that's important, a sensitive side of leadership. Being sensitive to where your team is at and the people that are in your sphere of influence are at. Be sensitive to that. As the scriptures say, comfort the feeble-hearted and the doubters. And so David, he did that. And also, I like this too, he took this opportunity, he used their resistance, because they were kind of resisting this whole plan, and he used it to teach these guys how to seek the heart of God. That's a great lesson there too, right? Not just to jump in, but to seek the heart of God and not even be afraid to ask the Lord again. Because the Lord's fine with that. The Lord is fine with giving you a confirmation. The Lord's not going to scold you for saying, Lord, could you just confirm that? I just need to know that. If the Father's like, oh, really? Once isn't enough? I spoke to your heart. It's in my word. Isn't that enough? No, the Lord is fine with that. And so they did that. But then, once you know it's time to go, you need to go. You need to go. So great growth for these guys, right? Imagine the growth of their faith when they saw the victory that they had with a few of them against a powerful force of the Philistines. Also, this too, the fact that David said, let's pray, and he did. No, we're afraid, so he prayed again, and they see God do just as he promised. That's encouraging. When you see God do just as he promised in your life, little things, big things, it encourages you. So that encourages them. And then also, lastly, in this point, they see a leader who didn't say, told you so. You know what? That's a sure way to ruin your team. I told you so. He didn't do that. And so the second lesson in this boot camp, Wisdom for Warriors, is fight through your fears. Fight through your fears. All right, lesson number three. Lesson number three is to beware of the fickle winds of public approval and even betrayal, as we'll see. Don't be blown away by them. because they happen. And so we need to be aware of such things. So we're going to pick up in our text in verse 6 through 13. It happened. Verse 6, yeah. It happened that when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he went down with an ephod in his hand. It's part of a priestly garment. And Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah. So word got to Saul, hey, we know where David's at. And so Saul said, well, God has delivered him into my hands, for he shut himself in by entering a town that has gates and bars. And one of the reasons, again, David was hesitant at first, sought the Lord. The Lord said, okay. One of the reasons why his men said, hey, are you sure? So Saul is thinking, man, this is awesome. This is great. And so Saul called all the people together for war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. I think we got this. And so when David knew that Saul plotted, we're in verse 9, when David knew that Saul had plotted evil against him, he said to Abiathar the priest, bring the ephod here. And David said, oh Lord, God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeks to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Will Saul come down as your servant has heard? Oh, Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. And then David said, verse 12, David said, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, yeah, they will deliver you. Sad, right? I mean, David just saved these guys, hide, not just their harvest, but when the Philistines, they didn't just come in and steal and say, okay, everybody's cool, I'm not going to hurt you, don't worry. We don't rape and pillage and do bad stuff like that. No, we just will take this. No, that wasn't their MO. And so David says, wow, yeah, they will. So he and his men, verse 13, now about 600, the force has grown, not just stronger, but in number, as the way it should be. They arose and they departed from Keilah and they went wherever they could go. And then it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, so he halted that particular expedition. So, lesson number 3, wisdom for warriors, if you're taking notes, is to beware, just beware of the fickle winds of public approval. Don't let that be the driving force in your life. And beware of even betrayal, because that's ultimately what these guys have done. And I tell you, I've probably read this story over the years 20, 30 times, and it still blows me away. It's like, how could you do that? I mean, you guys would have been toast. You would have been dead, yet alone losing your harvest, if it wasn't for David and his men, and then you would be willing to do that? It's mind-boggling. And so that's what these people would have done. And sad, too, because these are the descendants of Caleb. If you've read in the book of Joshua, Caleb was just this cool warrior, man of integrity and all. And you would never think that his descendants would be so cowardly and have such little integrity. But that's who they are. And David had just saved them, and now they're ready to betray him. And David can see this coming. So he seeks the Lord, as we just read there. And the Lord says, yeah, they're going to come after you. They will deliver you to Saul. So David knows now it's time to go. He doesn't tempt God. It's, well, we'll just stay here. You know, we're pretty brave now. Now it's time to go. It's time to go. So third point, just beware of such. And I'm going to share a little bit more on that in a moment, how to be gracious as well in that regard. But in the meantime, beware. Lesson number 4, though, as we move on. Lesson number 4 is this, to realize that there's always another battle. There's always another battle and probably another betrayal. You know, a lot of times when we've gone through just a battle just in life and we think, oh, that's done. Everything's cool now and got that done. That part of my life, you know, the battle part, that's over. No, it's a fallen world. You're in a fallen body with a bunch of other fallen people. There's going to be a lot of battles. Sorry if you didn't know that. So just realize there's always more. There's more battles and probably more betrayals. And so let's read on in our text. Verse 14, if you want to read along with me. Verse 14, David stayed in the strongholds in the wilderness, and he remained in the mountains in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God. I love that. Look for those phrases in your Bible. I've got that underlined in mind, but God. So Saul sought him. Saul was out to get him. That was Saul's mission, not to protect the borders of Israel, to get David, but God did not. God wouldn't let that happen, didn't deliver him into his hand. So verse 15, so David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life, and David was now in the wilderness of Ziph, in a forest. And then Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the woods and strengthened his hand in God and encouraged him. And he said to him, don't fear. Verse 17, don't fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel, and I shall be next to you. Even my father Saul knows that. What a great example of encouragement, right? That's encouraging words. Verse 18, so the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed in the woods, and Jonathan went to his own house. And then the Ziphites came up to Saul in Gibeah. That's where Saul is now. See, I got a map there. You can see where Gibeah is, and you can see there where David's now hiding south of him. But he got word. Saul got word and said, is David, verse 19, is David not hiding with us in the strongholds, in the woods, in the hill of Hakilah, which is on the south of Jeshimon? Now, therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand. So here we have it. We have our next set of saboteurs, the Ziphites. And that's just the way life is. You know, the enemy of our souls never gives up. You go through a challenge and you get tempted. You do spiritual battle in your life dealing with temptation. It's not, oh, hey, it's done, man. It's like, you know, we sometimes think it would be like Jesus, you know, after the baptism, he goes into the wilderness and there's a period of temptation, right? Jesus was tempted just like us in all points. We think, oh, it's just a one-time thing. No. And it wasn't even a one-time thing for Jesus. The Bible says that Satan just left and it waited for a more opportune time. He's like, that didn't work, so we'll try again. And so it is with us. The enemy never gives up every day, really. And so the Ziphites, actually, these guys are related to Caleb, too, which is sad. And we'll find in our text in a few weeks that they're going to snitch, so to speak, on David again. It's not the only time that they do this. But the thing I want you to catch here is Saul, a little delusional in his elation. Let's look at verse 21. Verse 21. And Saul said, well, blessed are you of the Lord, for you have compassion on me. Please go and find out for sure. For see the place where his hideout is and who has seen him there. For I am told that he is very crafty. See, therefore, and take knowledge of all the lurking places where he hides. And you come back to me with certainty, and then I'll go with you. And it shall be, if he is in the land, that I will search for him throughout all the clans of Judah. And so they arose, verse 24, they arose and they went to Ziph before Saul. But David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in the plain on the south of Jeshimon. Now when Saul and his men went to seek him, then they told David, therefore he went down to the rock and he stayed there in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued David there in the wilderness of Maon. And so here these guys, the Ziphites, they're acting very loyal to Saul, but I would question that. Some of you perhaps remember when Saddam Hussein was the dictator over Iraq. And if you ever saw into the news reports that when he would come into a town, obviously this was before his capture and all, but when he would come in to visit a town, he had his advance team. They would go in. And they would say, I don't know if he was called the president, but Saddam is coming to our town, and you will greet him, won't you? And you will clap, won't you, when he comes here? Because if you don't clap, we'll cut off your hands, right? We will. And you'll smile and you'll cheer when the cameras are on, won't you? Because you don't want to die. You don't want your family. And that's what the advance team did. And so whenever Saddam came into a town, people, yes, Saddam is great. We love you. And so that's what's going on here. It's that same kind of thing. And so that makes me say this to you. That makes me say this word to those of us that would be just quick to judge the Ziphites. Kind of like what Paul said in Corinthians. When he said, when you're reading about the children of Israel coming through the wilderness and the Exodus, be careful. Be careful you start getting down on. And be careful if you think you stand, lest you fall. And I think that's a good word for us here. Because my natural inclination is to say, you know what? I'd be so done with the folks of Keilah. It's like, forget it. You know, and the folks with Ziph, you know what? That's enough. And yet, we need to be careful in judging these guys. Because people that are under a Saddam Hussein or a Idi Amin or an ISIS, group of ISIS, a lot of times, just to save their skin, they may say things, they may show some loyalty, quote-unquote loyalty. And Saul has proven that he's ruthless, right? We read that in chapter 22 when we looked at that in the beginning of the message. He's proven that. He can be brutal. And Saul would terrorize his own people. If that meant that he could save his job for a little longer, he was willing to do that. He could do that in his stalking of David. He wasn't opposed to destroying anything in his way and innocent people as well, entire families, if they refused to inform Saul of where he was. So that that will strike fear. That will bring about sometimes a loyalty, not really, but a loyalty on some parts. And sometimes people will betray because of that. But here's the thing I like about David, and this is a good example too. I think the guys are seeing this. It wasn't so much that he verbalized this, but he did this. And that's when you catch something, right? You've heard the expression, some things are better caught than taught. David didn't have to teach this. He showed the guys this by not seeking revenge. He didn't seek revenge on Keilah. I would have been tempted to. He didn't do that. He didn't, when he left over those walls, he didn't say, I'll be back, man, and you guys will regret the day that you were willing to turn me in. He didn't do that. He didn't smoke out the Ziphites for what they did, first or second time. It's just not what he did. So, fourth lesson is just to realize there's more battles around the corner. They don't stop. And the fifth lesson, rest in this. God is always on time. God is always on time. The expression I remember from the 90s, God is, how did it go? Seldom late, but never early. Never late and seldom early. That's what it is, because he wouldn't say God's late. God is never late, but seldom early. A lot of times they go, oh, God, you got to show up earlier. I need your help earlier. And, you know, God knows. His timing is ideal. So that's the lesson for the warrior, wisdom for the warrior to rest in that. Look at our passage again. Let's finish up this chapter. Verse 26 is where we'll pick up. Then Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. So David made haste to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were encircling David and his men to take them. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, hurry and come, the Philistines have invaded the land. Verse 28, therefore Saul returned from pursuing David. He had him. David's encircled. They've got him trapped, but he's got to go. And then he went to fight against the Philistines. So they then called that place the Rock of Escape. How appropriate is that, right? The Rock of Escape. And then David went up from there, and then he dwelt in the strongholds at En-Gedi. So here we have it. Saul has really outmaneuvered David. Every step David took wasn't flawless. It wasn't like, oh, what a master strategist. I mean, he had some great strategy, I'll grant you that. And that's a given. But he didn't rely upon that. And here he was outmaneuvered. He's surrounded, and really, he could have been taken at this point in time. Story could have changed. But God, again, those two words together, but God. And his timing, God's timing is impeccable. And so how often do we struggle with that? We would prefer our timing. And it's a stumbling block to a lot of us. It's just like, oh, this is the way it should work. And the timing that you and I think in our endless wisdom that we have, that no, this would be the best time, God. And we just rest. Oh, please, just learn the lesson the easy way from David. Just rest in the Lord's timing. And interesting as well, even when you look at the circumstances in your life and you go, yeah, but you don't understand. This is going on in this situation and that. Hey, I may not understand your situation, but I understand the scriptures. And you could have said the same thing here. And yet, look what God did. All of a sudden, the Philistines show up. And all of a sudden, Saul has to leave. And that's just what God does. He redeems messes. He takes those circumstances when somebody says to you, oh, hey, bro, hey, sis, just, you know, rest in the Lord's timing. Oh, yeah, but that's easy for you to say. You don't realize what's happening. Oh, this happened at my job, or, you know, my husband said this, or my child said this, or my neighbor, or my roommate, and this happened. That's lousy. That is. That's as bad as David being trapped in this situation. But God, he redeems messes like that. That's what he does. That's his MO. Saul had an MO, and the Lord does too. And he redeems messes. That's his specialty. That's what he does. He redeems messes. I think this account, what's going on in David, is probably a great inspiration for this psalm. It's one of the psalms he wrote, Psalm 124, but it starts off with the Lord, if the Lord had not been on our side. But he was. That's the whole point of that psalm. If the Lord had not been in our side, we would have been toast. But we weren't toast because the Lord was on our side. He's for us. He's for us. I think one of the first passages I ever memorized was in Romans chapter 8. Great, that chapter. I mean, the book is awesome. Romans 8, it's got to be the most power-packed chapter, I think, in the Bible. But Romans 8, verse 28 says, if God is for us, who could be against us? Right? We got this is against me, and they're against me, and that's again. Yeah, wow, bummer. That's pretty gnarly. But God is for you. And if God's for you, who could be against you? And so he's for us. And God is good. He's good all the time, right? And so that's the lesson here. Rest in his timing. And God is pouring in our text. He's pouring wisdom into David, and then he in turn is pouring that in into these 400, now 600 warriors. And it's being reinforced. And so for you and I, nothing reinforces our focus and the guiding principles that we have in our life from Scripture, like mentoring or encouraging or training or teaching another believer what we know. We all should do that. It's not just like, well, you know, the foundations class, that's for, you know, a professional to do. No, this pour into others what God's poured into you. And so this lesson, and all these lessons, this lesson, of course, rest in God's perfect timing, but in all those, you can do that. And so just very quickly to recap these points in finding true north. Finding true north as a warrior of the Lord, it always will involve these steps, somehow, some way. And the first was just to choose wisely by waiting on God, seeking God for direction. You got to do that. And don't go picking fights. Let the Lord pick your battles for you. So you want to be spirit-led, not need-led, right? Secondly, was to fight through your fears. Just fight through your fears. You're going to have them, right? Everybody has them. But don't let fear have the last word. Let the Lord have the last word. Don't let it keep you frozen in your proverbial cave, wherever that may be. Thirdly, was to be gracious to the fickle. Beware the fickle, but be gracious to the fickle and the frightened. It's likely that they're oppressed. And you maybe didn't know that. First reading the account of the people of Keilah and Ziph, and you know, it's easy to say, oh, man, these people can't believe they're going to turn on David. Betray him. Yeah, well, they were going to do that, but you don't really know why. I don't know the whole story. And so be gracious there. Refuse revenge, because it always turns into bitterness, right? Any of you ever pursued revenge or just had vengeful spirit? You feel, man, I've just gotten closer to the Lord. I feel healthier as a believer. This is great. No. When you pursue revenge, when you're bitter and you're just, nobody wants to be around you. You don't even want to be around yourself when you do that. And so we don't want to do that. But we want to remember that the enemy never rests. That's important. The enemy of your soul never rests. We need to remember that. I need to remember that. There's always another battle around the corner, but the Lord is always with you in that battle. So just as surely as there's another battle, God is just as surely, more surely, is God there for you. And then to rest. To rest in God's perfect timing. Remember the expression, still around, I suspect, timing is everything. And but only God's timing is perfect. Yeah, timing is important. I guess you could say it's everything. But only God's timing is perfect. And you can trust that. You can rest in that. Don't worry about the circumstances. Yeah, but I see this. And I know. But let's walk by faith, not by sight. That's the whole idea there when Paul said that. And so rest, trust in God's perfect timing. Trust in that. And as a warrior in training, which we all are, men and women, boys and girls, we're all warriors in training. What do you know about God? Maybe things that you've kind of picked up or had reinforced this morning. I know some of you, this is not new, but it's being reinforced. For some of you, it is new. But whatever it is that you know about God, what he's poured into you, pour that into others. Pour what you know into somebody else. Pour in what you have. Don't worry about what you don't have. Well, I just got a few, whatever. Okay, we're all warriors in training. So don't worry about however limited that is, what you have to pour into somebody else. But by the same token, do it with the right attitude. Do it humbly. Don't do it like the person that, hey, I discovered a new sandwich, man. It's you dig some bread and you put some peanut butter on it. Huh? Listen to this. And jelly, huh? Huh? Peanut butter jelly, this is great. The PB&J, this is gonna be a hit. If you're like, yeah, okay, that's nothing new. So make sure when you're pouring into somebody, you're not acting like, you know, you've discovered the PB&J. Just do it humbly, but pour in what you got. Pour in what you got. And that's gonna make you, and that's gonna make others better warriors. That's what that's gonna do. And that's what David did. So before we close in prayer, I know this about all of us in this room, and I know most of you as I look out. Not all of you, I know most of you. We're all desperately in need of the Lord. That I know. I don't even have to know each of you individually. I just know that that's a truth. That's a scriptural truth. We're all desperately in need of the Lord. And I find as I grow as a warrior, you probably have found as you grow in a warrior, you find that more. You don't find, I don't need God so much. I find out I need him more and more. The more I grow, the more I know that I need God more. And so you not only need him for salvation, to have peace with God, which most all of you know that. And you came to the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do this. How am I going to make myself right with you, God, by myself? And the Lord opened your eyes to that, and that was awesome. Maybe some of you, your eyes haven't been opened to that. I pray, Father, open their eyes to that now, that you desperately need the Lord to make peace with God. You don't do that on your own. But also for the rest of us and for the journey thereafter, after that point of salvation, enjoying that peace of God, we desperately need him for that. And so that's why he provides wisdom. That's why he gives us these things, to make us better warriors and to encourage others, right? Like Jonathan did to David. And so if you need to pray that in with somebody, after the song the band will lead us in, I'm going to pray here in a moment, but I would avail myself of that. You know, people wonder, who's on the prayer team? I'll tell you who's on the prayer team. That typically will stand up here at the end of a service. People that are on the prayer team are people that know the grace of God. These are not people that'll say, well, it's a good thing you came up here to pray because I'll tell you, I think you needed it. No, they're not going to say that. they understand they're in desperate need just like you. It's like me. And so they just want to pray with you. They just want to go to, as the Bible says, go to that throne of mercy and grace, to the Lord's throne, and say, Lord, I just want to pray for this person. It's a very cool thing. It's a beautiful thing when somebody does it for you. Or maybe to give your life to Christ for the first time. It'd be a great time to do that after the song, right? And just come up and say, hey, would you pray with me? I want to do that. I want to make peace with God. And I believe, as that talking head up there said, that you can't do that on your own. The Lord's opened my eyes to that, and I want to pray. And that's why they're here. There's just humble people that love the Lord. They want to take you to that throne of mercy and grace, and God is good. So let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, thank you for wanting to infuse your wisdom into us. Lord, thank you for being willing to work with the motley crew that we are. Lord, as we saw that picture of Winnie the Pooh and company, Lord, dysfunctional, or as the scripture describes the 400, the distressed, the in debt, those that just in dire straits, discontented. Lord, that's what you have to work with, and you're okay with that. And so, Lord, we thank you for that. And God, would you help us to have just those eyes of grace, to see that we're all that way, and to pour into others the wisdom that you impart for warriors, Lord, that we could do this together, Lord, that we could fight the good fight. Father, I love that you gave Paul that imagery, that we would fight the good fight. And Lord, you're ultimately our commander-in-chief. Lord, how cool is that? You are our commander-in-chief. You are our ultimate captain, our ultimate leader. And Lord, we're thankful for that. God, we love you and we praise you. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.